This is Lekka. I'm Lucy Dearlove. Just behind Priory Meadow Shopping Centre, in the middle of Hastings, there's a little alley full of brightly painted shop fronts. Down at the end is Creperie by the Sea, run by Penelope Foster.
It's a great spot in Hastings, I'm happy. Because lots of people are like, oh, you're so hidden. But sometimes people like hidden places, they like to discover things.
On the Monday morning that I came to visit Penelope, she made me a perfect cafetiere coffee as soon as I arrived.
Do you want any milk?
No, just black's fine. Oh, lovely. Thank you. I'll just have it as it comes.
This one, I find this coffee black is just perfect.
Oh, nice.
It's a good...
What coffee is it?
It's Trading Post in Brighton, Green Monkey Blend.
We got straight to talking about a subject very close to her heart, ingredients.
I've tried out a few of them, but the one I use is grown in Devon. I could import it from France, but I want to use as local as I can. It's a couple who grow it on their farm, and they're really sweet. They're the nicest people ever.
Do you buy it from direct?
Yeah, I send them an email and they send me some. I think they supply a lot, they supply locally in Devon. It was extensive amount of Googling and I found them. I believe that the reason why buckwheat was used was because of tax reasons. So I don't think buckwheat was taxed back in the Middle Ages, like back in the day. So people could grow as much buckwheat as they wanted,
right,
and they wouldn't have to pay for it, essentially.
Right, great.
And that's why they would use it.
So that's how the galette became.
That's how the galette. I believe that might not be the factor, but that is one factor why buckwheat was used.
Yeah.
I think I've seen an image of an ancient hot plate, and it's quite similar to one of these.
Yeah, I guess like a stone.
Yeah, it was like a stone.
Yeah.
It was a stone, and you could see like the marks of where the...
That's amazing. Oh my God. And it's just not changed that much, I guess.
No, it's not changed that much. I mean, some people put eggs in their buckwheat batter. Some people put milk in still. It depends on region.
But yours
town.
It's literally just water, flour and salt.
Because it makes it vegan.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I haven't found the need for it. Some people add honey in to make it a little bit darker. But every single... Creperie has their own recipe. I haven't amended it too much from what I was taught. It's very similar, I think, because the buckwheat's different to the buckwheat we were using there.
Ah.
So I might be using slightly different ratios because
it feels different.
It even tastes a little bit different, but.
I guess it makes sense if it's grown in a different place, right?
It's grown in a different place, but it's as close to the French buckwheat that I could find. And it was another one of the first things I did because I still had the taste of the buckwheat from being in France that long. So I pre-ordered it, so it was there when I got home. And I had lots of different ones. And then this one was the one that stood out to me. I really liked it. It's a very nutty, rich taste on its own. You really want to partner it with butter because on its own it's got a very bitterness to it. But as soon as you add food to it, it's delicious.
So you gotta like round it out a bit.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And it's just not the same without butter.
Devon buckwheat, Brighton coffee. I wondered whether the creperie deliberately uses predominantly British ingredients.
So I used Fountain and Sons.
Oh.
The fruit and veg, they're on my pathway to work.
Nice.
So it's handy, so I get my eggs from them and then any sort of specialist fruit or vegetables that I need, they can just order them in.
That's really nice. Yeah.
So I use them. I use the Beacon Tail Butchers. That used to be very handy at the beginning when I wasn't as quiet, so I would just go and like walk over there. But now my mum is my ham supplier. She goes and gets my ham.
Your runner.
And she's my runner now, so that's great. But they're really good. They're really nice. That's the fundaments of a creperie, is you use people around you. So everywhere in every creperie in France will have their local produce inside that galette, almost.
Right, so that's part
different
of the
cheeses.
Story.
Yeah, and I've noticed that. So I've in Brittany, they use they use the butter from Brittany, they use the milk from Brittany, and as local as possible. And then when I travel down south, you would notice the galettes changed.
Yeah, okay.
They change in the very near where I'm from in the southwest. We went to a crêperie, and that was like that was a rich, kind of fatty, greasy, greasy galette. And that is part of the food. Like they just love meat.
Yeah.
Meat and grease. And that's I felt that in the galette. I did.
So even though it's like a galette is something you'll find throughout France, it will be very specific in each different region.
I believe so.
So where are you from in the southwest?
In very near Toulouse.
Okay, cool.
So it's nice. About an hour
big,
away.
Big for sausages and like fatty sausages.
fatty sausages. Every time we go there to my grandparents, we always have a sausage barbecue and we have like big twisty sausage.
Yeah, one of the big curly guys.
Yeah, yeah. It's made me... I love the sausages in England, but I do always... want
yeah you crave one. It
yeah I do yeah. crave it so yeah it's
quite specific
it's very specific and it's hard to recreate that when we're less so in England because there's less crêperies but when we're in France we drive down to my grandparents so we visit lots of different towns and one of the biggest not arguments but sort of conversations we have is where are we going to eat I'm hungry we need to eat now quickly so the new system now is we Google crêperies nearby because you know what you're going to get but it's going to be different in every single crêperie.
Yeah.
So we look at crêperies within that town and then it reduces the selection.
Yeah.
By quite a lot.
And it's also research. Yeah.
Before opening Crêperie by the Sea, Penelope trained as a crêpier in Saint-Malo in Brittany. She's described this to me once, chatting after the yoga class where we originally met, as like the master chef of crepe making.
It started off with, going back a few years, I said to my mum, I just finished university.
Mm.
I really enjoyed it, but I thought this is not the pathway I want to go.
What did you study?
Film school. I went to film school.
No way. Oh my God. I love that. Okay.
But I learned it was practical filmmaking and I think my role in film school was producing,
Okay, yeah.
Not actually a producer, but that was what I studied in.
Yeah.
And that entails lots of organisation, all those skills, putting things together, making things happen.
Yeah.
And that I enjoyed that part of it. So when I finished uni, I thought, I've learned all these skills from this. What am I going to do? And I was sat in the garden with my mum and I said, Hastings could do with a crêperie. And then she said, that's a really, really good idea.
Mm.
And then we looked up crêperie town cities in France and we found Saint-Malo. And then a few months later, me and my mum, we just went there for a little holiday research trip, just to have a look.
Suss it out,
test the waters. Instantly fell in love with the culture, the crepes, the galettes, Saint-Malo itself. And then a year later, I think my mum might have found it, or she picked up a leaflet when she was there and she found the school, the crepe school, which was called Atelier de la Crêpe. And then we found that and then I applied to go there.
Okay, so you have to apply.
You apply for it. You sort of pick what months you want to do the course and you apply for it. You send over your application and then that was it.
Oh my God. So did you have to have experience to do the course?
No.
Okay, so you could come in completely
It could
cold.
Have been... So part... Lots of people in my course, they were doing it almost vocationally.
Okay.
There was one woman, she just retired. She wanted to... She just wanted to learn how to make crepes.
That's so interesting.
In a professional environment. And then four of us were going in there in the mindset of, I'm going to open a crêperie.
Yeah, okay. And were they French?
They were all French.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of them were French. And it was such a mixed age range. I wasn't the youngest either.
Oh,
there was
okay.
One guy that was a little bit younger than me.
Yeah.
The course is set up so it... Because there are many crêperies in France, it gives you the qualification to go and work in a crêperie. So you go to a crêperie, like, I've done this course, and then they'll know straight away, oh, you've been trained in this, that, and that. And then there'll be a little bit... They're pre-trained.
Yeah. The expectations will be high.
The expectations are high. So that was the school, and it's a teaching restaurant. They were only open at lunchtimes. They wouldn't ever open in the evenings.
Yeah.
You would be learning waitress skills, which I enjoyed because I was waitress before that anyway. So that was... But the switch up of waitressing from England to France.
Oh, yeah. So what's the difference? It's quite a different attitude the towards service, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really respected there, I find. People...
It's a career.
It's like a career.
You could do it as a career.
Yeah, people see it as a career. In England, a little bit less so. But yeah. I am seeing... But I've never had bad experiences while being a waitress. And yeah. I thought I always have felt respected.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Because I think sometimes that cannot be the case. And people consider it like unskilled work, which is so wild. Because it is so skilled.
I think it's really skilled, yeah.
And so many people aren't good at it. Like, it's not easy to be good at it.
It's really not. You have to remember things. You've got to be good at multitasking.
Yeah.
And you have to be good with people.
Good with people,
because you're going to get asked the most random questions.
And you have to be patient.
And you've got to be ready for it.
Yeah. Okay, so you're at this course. It's a teaching restaurant. So how long are you there for?
So the course was... I can't remember. I think it was 2 months.
Okay.
The first 2 weeks you were... in the school.
Yeah.
The first day they made you spin about 1,000 pancakes until you get it.
Oh my God. The first day.
The first day. I have a picture. I took a picture of all the pancakes that the whole class took. How many was there of us? Oh, there was 10 people in my class.
Okay, wow.
And funny enough, because they had to ask us if we were left or right-handed. Because of the positions. And half the class were left and half were right.
That's very interesting.
Oh no, there was 8 of us.
And that's very high.
Yeah, it was really high.
Are you left-handed?
No, right-handed.
Mm. So what difference does it make?
It makes a difference because if you've got your station.
Yeah, so you got is there a name for this, the thing that you cook the pancake on?
Oh, in French it's a bilig, and in England it's a hot plate?
Yeah, yeah.
Hot plate?
It's not specific.
But in terms they've got a name for it.
So you've got that. Okay, so it's how that is set up. Yeah.
So I would do this.
So you'd ladle your batter with your left hand.
With my left hand.
Okay.
Then if you're left-handed,
you'd do it the other way.
And because there was one person, two person, three person.
Oh yeah, you'd be like knocking elbows.
So because it was, I said 10 people, it was 8 people in my other class. So it was handy because you just have the lefties and then the righties on each side. And the people teaching the class were like, this is so handy.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier. Like,
it was weird.
People to be left-handed. Maybe there's like some predisposition for left-handed people to be.
It was.
Crepiers. Is that the word?
Yeah.
It should be noted that there's a lot more to making crepes or opening a creperie than just being good at spinning. The course over the next couple of months focused on a wide range of essential skills and experience to ensure the smooth running of a creperie.
The prep, the cleanup, and the time management, that was the main element of it. And because I'd never been in a professional kitchen before that,
right,
I'd never
so
done
you've
that.
Waitress, but you've never been on the other side.
I've never been on the other side. I've seen the other side.
Yeah.
I've sort of helped out a little bit, but never properly been in a kitchen.
Yeah, yeah.
So I needed that aid, and I did love it. I loved every part of it. I loved the rush.
Mm.
The rush before service, when we were all scrambling around.
It's kind of building up, you can feel it.
Yeah. And it's the same thing here now. It's exactly the same thing. I'm scrambling around before my opening time, trying to get everything done, getting everything prepared, because once you're switched on, you want everything in your fridges to be ready.
It's got to be ready, yeah.
Because you want everything to be at arm's length.
Yeah,
to pop on your machines.
Yeah.
You don't want to be running the back, chopping onions.
Grating some more cheese or something.
Grating more cheese, no, that's not going to work.
So you graduate from the atelier. Yeah. What did you do after that?
On the ferry, I was on the phone call to get this place on the way back. So we took the ferry the day after finishing. It was a 2 days. It was a 2 day. And then the day afterwards, I came and saw the shop.
Oh, my God. So it was immediately
It was immediately. There was no... And while I was there, I was designing the logo.
So you had a vision.
I had a vision.
Yeah.
And I was on FaceTime with my mum, and then I said... to her, I was like, oh, what about a little cat?
Yeah.
And then she drew up the cat, and then
your mum drew it. Oh.
My mum drew it, yeah.
That's lovely.
So I've got all the original sketches. But yeah, this was while we were there, and then it was a very, very quick turnaround.
Right, so then when did you open?
Because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
So I got back in June, and I opened in July. Yeah. It was very different when I first opened. So it was takeaway only to start with.
Okay.
What I did was, because I'd never done this before, so I started off as small as I possibly could. So I thought if I throw myself in the deep end, it's going to be a flop straight away.
Yeah, and you can always grow, right?
So I can always grow.
So you weren't tempted to go and, like, I guess, work somewhere else for a bit first? You wanted to get straight in and do your own thing?
I think if I hadn't... If someone hadn't given me the opportunity of being here, then I would have done that.
Okay.
But I thought if I pass up on it, I might. I don't want to regret it. And I thought, what's the worst thing that's gonna happen?
I guess you just close it. Right?
I just like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm so glad that I did.
Oh, I just saw this. So that your hot plate says. So that is this the Breton word for crepe? Because I know that because someone told me the Welsh word is really similar.
Yeah,
they're like the same language.
It's
family.
Associated with.
Yeah.
Yeah, crumples. Because I think I heard someone say it in Breton. And I was like, oh, that's the same as the brand.
Yeah. Oh, right. So that's the name of the brand.
That's the name of the brand. But yeah. I also think it's associated with. I'll have to double check. Exactly. But I think it is. I love the Breton language.
Yeah, it's really
I know none
beautiful.
Of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I know one word, which is, I'm assuming it's Breton. It's kraz.
Okay.
Which is K-R-A-Z. And it's the exact word to describe a crispy pancake. So a lady asked me for a pancake that was kraz. And I was like, what is that? I don't understand. And I asked, and she said, oh, they just want it extra crispy. And having a kraz crepe is a sign of a good... Of a good crap.
That's what you're looking for. You're looking for the kraz.
You're looking for the kraz.
I love that. I love that they've got a specific piece of vocabulary.
I mean, I'm not... When it comes to language, history and knowledge, I believe it might be the only... Might not even be a translatable... I mean, I guess crispy.
Yeah, but crispy's not a word. Crispy's a kind of a generic word, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like you can translate it, but it's not quite the same.
No.
Yeah.
So there's a crap. Crep language.
Yeah, that's how important they are.
Yeah, they are so important. Well, what I'm gonna do?
Let's do it.
I'm gonna turn it on. The first thing I do in the morning is I've got my batters here. So these are all made at least 3 days in advance.
Oh, well, so you can keep them for that long.
You can keep them for that long because it's only a mixture of water, salt, and buckwheat. So it does last. My brain works in batter rotation.
You're dreaming of these stacks of
I'm dreaming of it, but I know exactly. And then it just leaves it, and you know it's ready when you've got the little air bubbles on top.
Okay, so it's kind of fermenting a little bit.
It is fermented.
So nice.
Grab that. So now I have to dilute this with water because it's otherwise it'll be very thick. And this process is completely eyeballed. You wanna really feel. You wanna really feel the batter mix when you put diluted water. So I'd only do a little bit.
Water's going in.
So here, I think I've got a consistency I'm happy with. So it's thin, but not too. You don't want to get it too thin, you don't want to get it too thick. But it's got a nice dark colour, and that's a quality that they look for in galettes in France, is dark colour. And I was trying to, that was part of my buckwheat test, trying to find that. When we go to crêperies in France, Bill, my husband, he says he's not biased, but he says he generally prefers, he prefers this one, he likes this flour. If anything, he's had more than I have. At this point, but I like to go there as much as I can, so I can keep on testing it.
Because
I don't. Otherwise, I'll get buckwheat blindness, as I call it.
Yeah, but it's because you're working with it every day.
Yeah,
it's easy, isn't it, to forget?
Yeah. And then the second I'm back, I'll make one and I'll taste it again. I'm like, oh yeah, we're good. We're on track still.
It's all right. It's still good, everyone.
So the temperature-wise, I want it to reach to about 250 degrees.
Wow, that's hot.
It's very hot. That is a secret. I have my preferred one. This one I prefer for crepes, and this one I prefer for galettes.
What's the name of this? This, like, tool?
This is, in French, it's called a une roselle. And in English, I think I'd say it's a pancake spreader.
Yeah, it's not because
they really have names for things there. They don't have...
We don't have it.
It's
yeah,
very handy. So it's called une roselle. This is my preferred one for...
Okay, so is that the size? Or is it, like, the way...
It's... This one's lighter. Okay. And because crepes batter is a lot lighter, I find it easier. And you can sort them. It's easier to spread.
When I think about this, I always think of in Amelie when she spreads the record.
Yeah.
Is it her? Maybe it's a person making a crepe, but it's like it becomes a record. Like they're spreading the vinyl. And it's just like such a strong image in my head. So that's what I think of straight away. They're really beautiful. They're like, they would.
They are wood.
Yeah.
I've got some wood there as well. My little showcase.
Oh, the little collection.
My little collection. They are really beautiful. It took me a while to learn the movements. That was the reason why they would make us spin about 1,000 pancakes to start with.
Yeah.
And you'd have the teachers behind you being like, no, you're doing it wrong. But then eventually you learn.
And it just clicks.
You have a day where it just clicks.
Did it take you long?
It took me long... because I had a machine at home before and I was self-teaching. So I might have been teaching myself some bad habits. I was getting myself out of those bad habits. But it took me maybe about a week or so.
Okay.
I found the crepes easier. The crepes are easier to spin.
Right.
The galettes are hard because you have a different consistency every time. Even because the buckwheat, it's hand milled.
Oh, so the texture can vary.
So the texture can vary because it's not mass produced. Yeah. It might not be as consistent every time.
Yeah. Do they mill it on the farm?
They mill it on the farm in the most beautiful French mill. So this old wooden French mill. It's so nice.
That's so lovely.
And they mill it to order.
Of course, so it's really fresh.
So it's really, really fresh. But again, because it is slightly different every time.
Yeah.
And they always say, oh, we want it to be the same every time. But I like it. I like that. It keeps it challenging.
Yeah, and if you know how to work with it, that's the thing. Yeah. Is that you're not a machine, you're a human.
Yeah.
So you can adapt.
Yeah, you've really got to know your batter. You become friends. And you have good... And on the course, I remember he said, it doesn't matter how good you are, you will have good days and you will have bad spinning days. Like, there's some days where you just can't spin... I use rapeseed oil to grease my pans. In France, they will use lard. So if you're vegetarian, you gotta ask. So I'm gonna make the classic complet.
So that is ham, cheese, and an egg?
Yeah, ham, cheese, and egg. I use Emmental cheese.
Mm.
Some crêperies use Comté.
Mm.
And because, where is my blue roll?
The essential,
the heaven sent blue roll. But like every person, the first crepe's always not the best.
Oh, it's reassuring to know that even professionals.
No, the first one always is never the best one. And here's where I not troubleshoot, but I just see if the batter's the right consistency before I put food on.
Right.
So here, grab this in one hand.
Penelope distributes a ladle full of galette batter and with her roselle in the other hand, skillfully spreads it across the surface of the hot plate.
There we go. But I'm happy with that consistency.
Okay.
I think that will work. We're good.
So that's the colour that you're looking for.
That's the colour I'm looking for. So it's nice and dark. But yeah, that is the galette.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it?
So I will pop that one there. You can chill there. We'll have that one later. I'm going to heat up my butter a little bit.
Oh, that's a good trick, just putting the bowl on the hot plate.
Yeah, it's probably not good for the bowl, but...
Handy.
It's very handy at work. So I'll just heat up my butter. That's part of my prep in the morning. I'll just pop it on. Make sure I've always got
it nice and soft.
Yeah. There we go. And you'll see a very big difference between a non-buttered one. It'll go crisp, it'll go kaz because of the butter.
Okay, so the butter is the key to the kaz.
Yeah, the kaz. Right, that will do. Normally this one's on, so I'll just leave that and then that one. So I've got my ham and cheese always cut.
Yeah.
And we're ready to go. Yeah, but rapeseed oil does the exact same job as lard.
Right. And it's vegetarian. So.
And it's vegetarian, yeah. Maybe there's a slight difference.
I mean, I imagine the lard ones are delicious. But.
Yeah. I've never made a lard one here.
Oh, great.
There we are.
That beautiful, like, lacy edge.
So nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just leave it a few seconds to cook before I do anything, and then I'll add the butter.
So you brush the butter on the top and then flip it?
I'll fold it instead of flipping it.
Ah.
So if I'm making, just sort of spinning them, then I'll flip them. But this will cook enough without needing to flip. Here's the butter.
Eggs going on. Ah, so you kind of spread the white out so it cooks.
Because they only take about 3 minutes to cook, so it wouldn't cook the egg.
Mm.
The egg white. So just spread that. There we are.
The ham. Is this like the classic aesthetic of the complet? Like the ham goes round the egg yolk.
That's
then,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the cheese will scatter there, but we've got right one. And then when it starts to fold around the edges, that's when I can just.
You're using your big long spatula to kind of fold it down.
This is the essential.
Yeah.
I've got, this is an old fashioned.
Oh, so that's the wooden one.
This is the wooden one. So this is what they would have used probably before the metal spatulas.
Yeah.
But I use this primarily to flick the fuse switch if it goes off. Because it's wooden, so I'm not going to get electrocuted.
Oh, yeah, my God. it's also an essential.
So I look like this is the one thing I could not live without. Because there's so much, it's so small, there's so much electricity. Then if the urn's on, then the induction hob's on, then
trips.
It goes off.
Yeah.
So I'm like running. So this is always at arm's length. I love it.
So it's still, yeah. Thank the Galette ancestors for that.
Yeah. So I've never actually used it for one of these. There we go. And I'll fold that and then that just continues to cook.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And yeah, I'd say the four-way fold is the classic for the complet.
Yeah.
But some crêperies will make a nice little triangle.
Oh, okay.
An equilateral triangle is very hard to achieve.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm very bad. I have no sense of, but I...
Yeah, I get like where to fold it.
But I get there. There we go. And then...
More butter, of course.
Always more butter. I get told off for not putting enough butter. There we go. And butter is very good for you.
Yeah.
And there we go. And then the plating. There we go.
That is gorgeous.
The resulting complet was beautiful. The dark golden galette folded neatly into a square, framing the sunny egg yolk, strips of ham and melted Emmental. Seeing it, I was struck by how easy Penelope had made it look. And when she offered to let me have my first go at spinning, I couldn't resist.
First things first, careful of your arms.
Yes, okay, look. Let me. So this is the occupational hazard of...
Yeah, when I had no... My spatial awareness has got a lot better.
Yeah, but I imagine you learn the hard way.
You learn the hard way after you've had a few burns, like, right, I'm a bit sick of this now.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll just give you a quick little demo of the steps. So oil first
and then spread it out.
Spread the oil. Are you left-handed?
I'm right-handed.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, so you're going in the same way.
So I'll ladle with my left hand.
Yeah, you'll ladle with your left hand. So the main thing I have to say is you don't want to tilt the spatula upwards because that will just scrape the batter up.
It wants to be flat.
You want it to be as flat as possible.
Amazing.
And small little movements.
Okay.
Small little movements. You'll get to this point where you'll have to flip it around. That's a hard one to grasp at the beginning.
Okay.
But do you want to have a go at spinning it without the batter first?
Yeah, okay. So you want it to be flat, so like that.
That's it.
Oh, it is quite like awkward, isn't it?
It's very awkward. It feels really unnatural at the beginning.
Oh, but I can see it's easy to kind of tip it.
Yeah, and then if you tip it, it will just scrape.
It'll pull it.
It will pull it.
Okay, so kind of like that.
Like that, but smaller movements.
Smaller movements, okay. Okay. Like that?
That's it, yeah. Okay. That's exactly that.
Cool. All right, it's hot as well, because, like, obviously you've got all the heat off the plate.
It's really hot. You get used to it. You do get used to it. In the summer, it's something else.
Yeah, oh my God, I bet.
I try and wear as least amount of clothing as I can. That's still appropriate.
You can get away with just an apron.
Yeah. So, oil.
So we're going oil. Shall I put this down?
Yeah, pop that down.
So we're going oil.
You can see how when you're like reaching, that's when you can easily burn.
Yeah. So we're going oil, just a little bit.
You can put a little bit more because I haven't spun in a few seconds. Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay. So then we go in with the... Did I press start? Yes, I did. So then we go in with this.
Yeah. So circular movements or whatever, whatever is...
comfortable.
Whatever's comfortable.
Like right to the edges?
Yeah, go right to the edges.
Cool, okay. Oh, that's satisfying.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Like that?
Yeah.
All right, that goes down. So now it feels awkward doing this. Do I want to have my...
You want to have it in your hand already.
Yeah, okay.
It makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And the batter is... I'd say if you put it around this,
put it there,
and then you can spin from that way.
Okay, and how much are we talking?
Like that's
a ladleful.
One ladleful.
Okay, so it's going on.
That's it.
And straight away.
That's it.
Oh my God. Are you only supposed to spread one way? Oh my God, this is a disaster.
it's not the worst I've seen as first go. And well, now you've got that, you can do spread the butter.
Okay, so we do a bit of butter.
And you're going to put toppings on as well.
Oh my God. Okay, so do I put this back in the water?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so thick.
But it will still cook. It will still
you
be
made this look
still
be so edible. Easily. You made it look so easy. More butter? Or is that...
No, you're good.
That's good?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so we're going to go in with the...
Like a nice little ham and cheese.
Okay, cool. So... Put the ham on.
Because once you folded it, it's going to be fine.
It's going to look almost like a galette. It's not going to look like that one. Okay.
It's deceiving.
It's so, yeah. I knew it was going to be harder than it looked, but I did not anticipate. Okay, so now do I get my...
Yeah, so you can you start off with those.
These bits.
So you can do any fold you want. You can do a square.
I think it's going to be whatever... fold I'm able to do. Oh yeah, we've got a bit of a sticking there. I'm sorry if I've ruined your hot plate.
No, it doesn't. They're extremely...
Okay, so maybe I'll just fold this side in. Just hide the worst bits.
If you head to the Lekka Instagram, you can see the truly diabolical mess that my galette turned out as. Penelope was very kind about it, but it was... an embarrassment that really brought shame upon her establishment and hot plate. So, safe to say, I won't be working in a creperie anytime soon, not without some extensive qualifications of the kind that Penelope did. If you're local to Hastings, or even visiting for the day or longer, you can find Creperie by the Sea on St Andrew's Mews in Hastings. It's just a short walk from both the New Town Centre and the station. As well as the classic complet that Penelope made here, there's always delicious specials on the menu. You can check her Instagram page for those, as well as up-to-date opening times at Creperie by the Sea. There's an underscore between each word. Thank you to Penelope for taking the time to record this with me. I had a lot of fun and the galette was absolutely delicious. And editing this episode has made me crave one to an almost unbearable level. So she's closed for a little bit at the moment, but as soon as she's back open, I'm going to go in and have one. I'm hoping to talk to more people in Hastings and St Leonard's this year because it's where I live now and it has such an interesting history and kind of present food scene. If you know of anyone in the area who you think would make a great guest, let me know. Doesn't have to be people cooking for a living, just anyone with a kind of interesting approach to food. I'd particularly love to meet passionate home and community cooks beyond the people I already know here. So if anyone comes to mind, let me know. You can find me on Instagram at Lekker Podcast. I'd love to hear from you. Lekker is an independent podcast supported by listener funding. If you enjoy listening and you're in a position to spare a few pounds every month towards its making, you can become a paid subscriber on Apple Podcasts, Patreon, or Substack. Links to find out more is in the show notes. The music in this episode is by Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening to Lekker. I'll be back soon.